It's a fried rice Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 and welcome everybody to another exciting and merry Christmas, eight nights of Christmas, or more nights of than eight nights of Christmas with Fried Rice Podcast.
We don't know how to count.
Ho, ho, host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. With me as always, it's Brennan dashing through the snow. With a Brennan in my arms, running down the hill, laughing all the way. Ha, ha, ha. Brennan is so cool. He is my best friend. We will go into the snow and have ourselves some fun. Oh, Brennan Shipley, Brennan Shipley, Brennan Shipley to Boston. Doesn't work anymore. And with me, and with me as always, if I'm the fat man, it's Michael. He's my number seven, Larson.
Hey, everybody. Merry Christmas.
And hi, it's me, Andy. I'm the real guy behind that. That was not a bad
Santa, but not a Santa Schwartzer.
Did you like the song, though? I was making it up as I went along.
Yeah. You're my number one customer, Andy.
you're my number one customer. Yeah. Thank you. And welcome. We are reviewing Jingle All the Way. It's our Christmas. It's another eight nights or more of Christmas. It's eight nights of Christmas with crazy nights of Christmas with us. And we're doing Jingle All the Way. What was it? 1997, 1998? Yeah. I always forget to look up the dates. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the kid who played
Anakin.
That was Hayden Kidd. That wasn't Hayden.
No, it was Anakin in episode one.
Oh, yeah. The young kid. Little.
The one that ended up going to jail and going crazy with drugs and stuff.
Oh, great. I didn't know that.
I think it seems like, is it Jake Lloyd or it's, I want to say Jake something.
Oh, it could be Jake Lloyd. Yeah. It's not the one from Big Daddy because that kid went on to be a Nick star.
It's Jake Lloyd, yes. Yeah.
The one from Big Daddy is the twins, the Zach and Cody.
Got it. Were they Nickelodeon stars?
Disney.
Okay, yeah. Good, because if they were Nick, they might have had it worse than the drugs and the...
I think they both were bad. I just don't think Disney's released a documentary yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nick didn't release that documentary.
No. Disney has the power to stop any documentary.
Yeah, yes. We'll hear about it in 100 years when Mickey's copyright finally runs out and we're allowed to talk about it.
After the downfall of Marvel and everything.
Oh, God, can you imagine when Disney... The day... There's got to be a day in the future... realistically that Disney doesn't exist, or is Disney so ingrained in human culture
so powerful
that 10,000 years from now there will be some remnants of Disney that remain? Either they've built something that can't, like, where does Disney World go in 10,000 years? Do we, because like the civilizations that were 10,000 years ago, right, they were living in like little caves or whatever, and little villages that got the, you know, storms took them out. We destroyed the buildings that people built before us to rebuild. But like, I guess that's what would happen to us, right?
But the Colosseum's still there.
Yeah, there's still a lot of structures that are
so
old.
So will Disneyland still be there? The castle by itself, the one castle.
You'd have to keep all of it, right? Like,
Wasn't there like old Disney like theme parks that are closed down that were like, isn't there one that's like an island somewhere?
There's one on an island somewhere that's all like overgrown.
Yeah,
now
it's all
stuff,
overgrown.
But you can still tell if you go there.
Yeah,
it's like
old. And people still go there. And like, I mean, they're not supposed to. Like, they go there illegally and explore and graffiti and all that stuff.
Creepy abandoned amusement park is
one of the creepier.
It's one of the creepier ones. And I think it's because it's especially, okay, I mean, because I was just talking about a book that I Fantastic Land, which is
Fantastic
a great book.
Land.
Yeah. Fantastic Land.
You didn't say that right. Yes. Yeah. Fantastic Land.
Fantastic Land. It's a book I just read recently. By the time this is out, I finished it. But and
the amount of tunnels and what's behind the facades and the inner workings of, like,
which I guess is real. They just talked about some they found at Disneyland with the floods, with the people trapped in them and stuff in the hurricane just now.
Oh, shit, really?
There's tunnels all under Disney World.
Yeah. And so, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so you got to, like, you got to imagine that if there's, like, people that want to hurt you in an amusement park, like an abandoned one, they could get, like, they could hide and
kind
you would
of
have no
terrifier
idea.
Terrifier, too. Yeah. When we just watched it, there was tunnels under there they were going through.
It's based on reality.
Yeah, shit.
Killer characters in Disneyland.
Making, I may never go to another amusement park.
It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, is it worth the amusement?
Yeah.
Well, definitely just don't go where any signs say employees only, because then you'll end up where you're not supposed to.
We tried that when we were on the Queen Mary.
Did you?
For the Halloween haunt. We tried to go through one of the secret doors to do some extra exploring. And I think we got
not
down
a
maybe
idea,
a corridor or two before we, like, we're like, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to either get caught or lost.
Or die.
But Queen Mary on a Halloween night.
Yeah. Mary.
Even with 1,000 people in the little park area.
Yeah.
That's one of the best. See, the problem is that the first year I went to Queen Mary, it was awesome.
We had our senior prom on the Queen Mary.
No, but the Halloween haunt in particular.
Cool. I didn't go for the Halloween one, but our prom was in, like, the ballroom, and it was cool. It was bitching.
I mean, that's pretty baller. You were in Corona area, right?
Elsinore, yeah. It was a private school, so it was an expensive prom.
Gotcha. Ours was at, like, a golf course clubhouse thing that was, like, near our city or in our city or whatever. So.
I think that's what we did for our homecoming.
Oh, got it. Yeah. That's your homecoming. It's our prom.
Yeah.
Mike's prom was in a fucking hay barn with a bunch of...
cave.
What?
Cave.
In a cave. It was in a cave. Prom is a loose term. It's just he knocked two girls on the head that night and dragged them to his cave. So it was a real, real celebration. Let's get into it. Jingle All the Way. This movie has been a classic favorite of mine to watch for most of my life, as around Christmas time. I've always enjoyed it, and I now
you're aware
it,
it's a bad movie, though, right?
Now I'm watching it with different eyes.
Yeah, okay, just checking. I mean, there's enjoyable parts of it. There's funny parts.
So
it's a bad movie.
Yeah, well, I maybe have some critiques.
Sinbad was great. I loved Sinbad.
Listen, did you know? Sinbad, speaking of, that's one of my main takeaways for this movie. I had no idea that Sinbad was so fucking big.
Yeah.
Because every
he's
time
bigger
he
than Arnie.
Next to Arnold, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what the heck? Yeah. I had no idea that Sinbad was that.
Arnold gives me Short King vibes.
Yeah, because he doesn't look very tall in this. Like, he doesn't,
but no, he's taller than all the women and all the other people.
But he's like six.
Except
he's like
for Sinbad.
Is he like 6 foot, 6'1"?
Yeah, he's like 6 or 6'1". He's not
my
super
height.
Tall, but
yeah.
But Sinbad, I mean, even broad shoulders, everything.
Yeah.
Sinbad's a big dude. I always pictured Sinbad as skinny in my mind for some reason.
Well,
he's not.
In his movie Shazam.
Yeah.
He's pretty big.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, that's Shaq.
No, you're thinking of Kazam.
I
know. Shazam was the one with Sinbad in it.
No, Shazam had the dude from TV.
What?
John Krasinski was Shazam.
He's making a reference to the
John Krasinski
Mandela effect.
No, you're thinking of the new Shazam. You're thinking of the one based on the comic.
Shazam, yeah. That's
no, remember, no, remember, Mike, you had the Shaquille O'Neal movie Kazam. With the genie, but then there was the Sinbad movie Shazam.
Yes. Okay,
and then
people thought he was in an actual Sinbad movie.
Yes,
too.
Yeah,
another.
Yeah,
and it's all based, I think, on the outfit from this, where he's got the brain on his head thing or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was at the very end.
Yeah.
So why are all the women in the neighborhood wanting Phil Hartman? I don't understand that.
Listen, that is one of the worst.
Yeah, even my wife was like, wait, why is he talking like that? I mean, he's raising her up.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I was like, ew.
It was a weird part. It
was
just done weirdly.
I just thought
it's because he was like the perfect dad.
He was trying to be the perfect, but it was all so
fake.
It was all
fake.
Okay, but what I'm thinking is, like, every woman there, all this, I don't know if they're single women in the neighborhood or if they're all married. But all of them are trying to hook up with him. Like, when they're at the karate tournament, they're all fucking like, oh, can you please come over and fix my life? So he's got his already he's either fucking every woman in the neighborhood or all the moms of the karate class, at least, or whatever. But So, like, and then he is inappropriate with Arnold's wife. I told you before you watched this, because you said you had never seen it before, and I was like, oh, well, just get ready to watch his neighbor try to fuck his wife the whole time while he's out of town. So that's the
main
A
B plot line of this movie.
No, the A plot line is the near affair, like, or the, it's it, the neighbor and I think the wife. That's
you think
the
that's
A,
the A plot, not the B plot?
I think it's the one that
A
makes,
plot is them trying to get the toy is the A plot. Yeah.
Well, if we're really going around, it's the A plot is the GTA wanted level 3.5 rampage that Arnold and Sinbad went through on this fucking on this mall trip.
Yeah.
Bro, they threatened cops with bombs. They fucking so many people got hurt due to their recklessness.
One of them was a real bomb.
Jesus Christ, So,
well, wait a minute. I want to know, first thing I want to know from you, though, because you like it when a movie opens with
what the movie's about.
Right.
And did this open with Jingle All the Way?
No, Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
Oh, it opens
a whole episode, a whole damn episode of Turbo Man.
Yeah, I actually.
Acting to it.
That was great. Yeah. I like how hokey it was. Yeah. Although, here's the thing that I don't quite understand is. He passes by the marquee. The Turbo Man movie's out. Why would the, why wasn't the kid begging to go see the movie?
Probably
it's like,
maybe, I don't know.
Turbo Man's at the parade. I want to go see Turbo. Let's go see the
Turbo
Man movie.
Turbo Man was
again.
Everywhere in this movie. That was the whole
So why and how doesn't Arnold know how time works? So as he's, you're my number one favorite customer, as he's talking to all of his customers throughout the day, showing how charming he is and how much of a wheeler and dealer he is, his secretary holds up a sign. I know you don't want to be bothered, but your son's hockey, or not hockey, but I was
karate.
Looking at you, Brent. Your karate tournament's in 20 minutes. And he's like, I'll make it. She says, you told me that a half an hour ago. At this point, does he not know how time works? Because he's like, if it's in 20 minutes, you have to leave now or you're not going to make it. I get caught up being in your work or whatever, but you were just told that you were at the point that if you don't leave, you're not going to make it. So when he leaves, and there's, I have a point to this, when he leaves already late and he gets in and he's driving and he's already late and he gets into traffic and he's already going to miss it.
Right.
Him breaking the law, stupid.
Yeah.
Getting a ticket, being detained for that amount of time at least, he knows for sure that the fucking karate tournament is over. It's been, he's an hour late by far. Go home.
Yeah.
Go home to your family who are pissed at you. Buy them some ice cream on the way. Do not go to the gymnasium.
Yeah.
Walk in when there's no cars in the parking lot. Walk into it and say, I didn't make it. Like, who are you talking to, Arnold?
Well, it's
who?
Like, it's the same as like in Hook. Like when he goes to his son's baseball game in the beginning and he clearly misses it and he shows up, nobody's there.
Every
he runs
one of
over
these
the
movies
hill.
Does
everybody's
that,
gone. Yeah, that's kind of the trope of the bad dad because I'm working all the time, you know, and
well,
I forget
it's
about
stupid.
Taking care of the family.
It's a stupid trope.
It's to show he's kind of an asshole.
But at the same time, the you work a lot and you have young kids and they miss you all like crazy all the time.
Yeah.
Did that resonate with you at all where you're like, you have to ever miss anything important, or do you carve out the time to make it your kids a priority? That doesn't make you a bad dad.
I haven't really missed anything yet because they're not really doing anything yet. They're young.
Wow. It's way worse.
Yeah, they're young.
Way to shit on your kids. They haven't done anything yet.
They're five and three.
I think one of them beat Astrobot recently.
Yeah, he
you
beat
told
my
me.
Game.
He beat your game of Astrobot, snuck in and beat the end of your Astrobot run.
It does get worse, though, because like with older kids, my kids are all grown now, of course, but. And then my granddaughter we have now, but all the time, even now, you know, you get scheduled for work, you miss things. There's no, there is no way around it. And it's one of the hardest things to explain to a child. Well, why didn't you just take the day off? Well, because you have something almost every goddamn day.
Yes.
And I can't take every day off.
I can't make it to your band recital.
Yeah.
And
like, do you like food on the table?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want
to
eat?
Do you like the electricity and the internet?
It's very hard
like,
to explain
well,
to a
it's
child,
like,
though.
Here's the thing. I'll always make sure that you have electricity and the internet and food. But the thing is, what kind of food do you want? Do you want delicious snack foods that maybe you can enjoy, the occasional soda, kids, or whatever? Or do you want the bare necessities? Because we can live off the bare necessities, and I can make your hockey tournament this weekend or whatever. But, I get it. But still, that was a stupid move on his part, going straight. He should have went straight home. I put nice Captain America. Oh, his fucking room is decked out. This whole movie is almost problematic with the amount of other licensed characters that are in it that are not Disney.
That you know they didn't pay for, yeah.
They're Disney properties now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is a little foresight. Right. Disney owns this. And yeah. They have Captain America just on the wall, which would be perfect
this,
for...
Was this always a Disney movie?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Wait, did it open with Disney?
I don't think it opened with a Disney thing.
No, it does not. I think it's... Well, it was Touchstone, which... No, it wasn't Disney.
I think it's 20th Century, wasn't it?
Wow.
Is it open with 20th Century?
I don't remember.
Honestly. Yeah.
I put Arnold is a liar because he lies to everyone. Arnold is an asshole.
Yep.
He's an asshole to pretty much everyone he meets.
He's the real villain here.
Okay. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. This is the slant I'm going with. Arnold in this movie, along with his henchman Sinbad, are the most vile people you'll ever run into in a holiday movie.
Yeah. Two shitty dads waiting.
They got
Christmas
people killed, bro. Yeah.
One of which knows he's a shitty dad, though. Sinbad knows he's a shitty dad. Yeah. That's the difference.
He at least
movie.
Admits it. Yeah.
He admits it and talks about it.
Yeah. Wow, I wonder if Arnold admits it.
Well, no, he does at the end. That's what I'm saying. The end is Sinbad teaches Arnold
that you're a bad dad.
In this movie is what this movie really is, if you break it down.
There's one point where Arnold is, when he goes to be to help at the end, like where he's just like, no, I'm going to win them back, whatever. There's no reason to do it. He's like sitting there and he's kind of drinking. He goes, no, I'm just, I don't have a formed thought. I didn't write it down. I'm so sorry. Moving on. I have a lot to, Sinbad is insane.
Yeah.
He just choked a woman in line. Cops would have been called for that. They just stampeded that man to death.
That feels like normal. Christmas.
This is where the madcap hunt for the doll becomes a madcap hunt for a ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When Arnold was in that child's playpen.
Yeah.
Chasing a toddler.
Someone should have stopped him
long ago. Yeah. They did do it right though with the mom beating the
shit. But I'm just saying at some point he should have noticed that he had gone too far.
Gone too far, yes. At what point he realized?
Also, one more thing. This is there's that. But here's something. Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the toughest, baddest like bodybuilder guys. When he notices that the slide that he's sliding down is entering a ball pit, he does a scream.
Yeah.
Why?
That's his wee.
This is wee.
No.
That's as good as Arnie can
That's
go wee.
That's how badasses do wee.
No, he looked fearful. For the comedy effect they tried for children is we're going to make Arnold look scared to go into a ball pit.
He had a Predator flashback.
You son of a bitch.
Although they did do, I will say, they did a good job of playing down his muscularity and stuff.
Yeah, with
the way they did his clothing and stuff. Yeah. He did not look big in this at all. No. He just looked normal.
Just like he had that Arnold head, that square. Yeah.
That square head.
That square head, which just is cool. I like his head. You're great, Arnold. Yeah. But they did stampede a man to death. Arnold uses his size and violence to intimidate someone, though.
Yeah.
He just does use violence to intimidate.
Just not his neighbor.
Yeah, not his neighbor. which I'm surprised he didn't beat the shit out of his neighbor at one point. There's not in the director's cut. Oh, by the way, here's something important to note. I watched, of course, I found the director's cut for Jingle All the Way, which has an extra 5 or an extra 9 minutes or whatever. They did not. And so I showed them 2 or 3 key little differences. One being when they go to that underground Santa warehouse, which I haven't really got to yet. When they get there,
John Belushi.
He has a musical number. Yeah. He sings, and it's quite nice. And the other Santas sing along with him. And then the other one is Sinbad and Arnold in the diner, and Sinbad's talking about a toy that his father didn't get him when he was younger. In this one, he goes through all 7
really
variations.
Really long description.
Yeah.
And
it's funny.
He ad-libbed a lot in this movie.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, it was funny. A lot of his ad-libs were funny. I thought it was funny.
Does anybody? Yeah. I was watching this movie. We kind of went around, and we actually were talking. My wife watched this with me, and we were talking about Sinbad. Does anybody know what happened to Sinbad? Like, why
he just stopped
kind of? Because he was great in this. You know, it's Sinbad. I remember everything
career.
I've seen him in. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, just gone for years and years and years.
He was
and
in
I
multiple
just don't
movies, all kids' movies.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Quiet. Yeah. Quietly quit. Quietly disgraced.
I don't know.
Quietly,
I don't know because if something happened, we
don't
know.
Did he go bankrupt or something?
You know what? Sometimes I've always felt that there's got to be the celebrities that are just like, cool.
I got my
30
million. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm done, bro. I've got a nice house. I don't have to fucking work ever again. Yeah. I don't want to just keep doing these kids movies. Like, it's people make fun of me all the fucking time. Because, of course, you look at a movie like this, and everyone's going to be like, if you're Roger Ebert, you're going to be like, oh, the acting is stupid, and Sinbad was a joke, and they shouldn't have let him ad-lib so much, and blah, blah, blah. Where it's like, if you're from a kid's perspective, you're
that's
like,
great.
This is fucking dope.
Yeah.
Like,
this
you know,
is definitely a kid's book.
I was a kid, when this came out, I went to the theaters to see it with my family. I remember walking away going, that was awesome. I want a Turbo Man doll. I think it's like, when I was a kid, I was thinking like, I would have, I don't know if they sold Turbo Man
they
dolls.
Did. One of my buddies had one after
Oh, really?
This movie. Yeah, he had one and we were playing with it in his room and he threw it off his top bunk of his bed, and it landed on the floor and broke.
Damn. Did they have booster dolls, though? That's the real question.
It had the jetpack, but it didn't work. Like, it made
no,
sound.
No, the booster, his
little
cat thing or whatever that
I
was.
I don't know if he had the booster. He might have had the booster.
But did it exist?
Played by the dude from Revenge of the Nerds.
Booger
from Revenge of the Nerds.
I always forget his name.
I don't know. The host of King of the Nerds.
Yeah.
It's him and the other guy.
Smoking a cigarette. Where have you been?
Yeah. So they get into that before the ball scene. They are in the mall and they rush through. He stampedes his way through. This is where he first meets Sinbad, I think, when they're outside the line. Then they go inside, they stampede their way through into that one store, and they realize that there's no dolls or whatever. And then somebody says that there's more somewhere else. And so when Sinbad hits Arnold and runs away, Arnold takes the fucking remote control of a RC car from this little kid. And in the chaos of this just fight going on with all these people, he somehow gets the RC car in a place he can't see it to U-turn and perfectly get underneath the moment Sinbad steps down. That's the most unlikely thing. Yeah. Besides the fully working
jetpack
at the end of this movie that's better than Rocket Man's jetpack.
The fact that Arnold just picks it up immediately and knows what to do.
I've got it. I immediately
know what to do.
First, he kills himself by crashing 9/11 style into a building, and then he crashes to the floor.
He figures it out. In a matter of minutes, without dying.
Jesus. And the car was being played with an unaccompanied minor who was just sitting there in a fight. Probably his parents was beating someone's ass right then. And he's just like, oh, let's play with this remote control car. The box. So in the deleted scene, one of the deleted scenes is as they're leaving. So the thing that gives them their call to action to leave the fucking store is they hear that a woman. Because he uses his violence to intimidate a guy, picks him up, he says, tell me where the fucking doll is. He goes, oh, some woman bought it. She was in a fur coat. And she leaves. So, in your guys' scene, he runs outside. He sees a lady driving away in a fur coat. He runs after the car. He goes, drives off like he's a crazy person. In my version, he sees a lady walking with a fur coat, and he walks up to her. And it's played by this actress who I've seen before in a bunch of things, and she's like kind of really cute in a way, but then also
I think she's in Agatha All Along as one of the witches. I'm not sure.
Well, she's an interesting actress, very unique face, and she thinks that Arnold's hitting on her, and he says to her, one of the things that is she has an open bag, and on the top of it, it says Turbo Man booster doll that you could very, very clearly read. If you're any taller than this girl, it's Arnold, and he's massively taller than her, so he'd be able to read the box. Instead, he offers her three times the amount they paid for. Maybe that's why they cut it, to be honest, because it was so obvious. He offers her three times the amount of money. He picks it up, finds out it's a booster doll, and then throws it away.
Yeah, he should have kept it and given it to his kid at least that too, yeah. And been like Turbo Man's coming.
Yeah, you get a Turbo Man and a booster. The kid would have been. No one else has a booster.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Because they keep leaving it behind. It's put an ongoing gag in this. They keep nobody wants the booster.
Nobody wants booster.
Everybody hates booster.
Yeah.
They even beat up booster.
All
later.
I was thinking before that scene when he first gets to the toy store and he's like, "Do you have Turbo Man doll?" And the guys just start laughing. He's like, "Wait, come here, ask him that." That's how I felt looking for a PS5 when they first came out.
Oh,
every
day
going to a store is, do you got me in stock?
We had Cabbage Patch Kids when my kids were little that way. There's been lots of
Well, when this came out, it was Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah. That's what they were directly referencing is the Tickle Me Elmo craze. That was insane. I remember seeing a news report as a kid.
Actual fights, yeah.
Even the Wii was like that, too.
What's that?
When the Wii came out, it was kind of like that, too. I think people were a little calmer, though. I don't think there was as many fights as, like, Tickle Me Elmo.
But now we get different kinds of...
The 90s were weird.
Now we don't get people beating each other's asses. Now we just get people
trampling
1,000 PS5s and upcharging them 10,000%, you know? So when he... Also, using his charms to... woo the woman, because she's like, she obviously was into him, and he was like, "Oh, hello, yeah, I just want your bag." Her response to that is like, "My bag," and he offers 3 times the money, and she goes, "Okay, well, sure, you can do it. I don't know, I don't need to know what," but she says, "I don't need to know like what you're gonna do." Like, she's basically like, "Are you gonna fuck this thing?" Is what she's asking. Yeah. Like, she's like, "Whoa, you're gonna fuck this thing. I don't need to know. Yeah. I'm okay, I'm gonna back off." And she leaves. I just thought that was weird.
Well, it's probably because in her mind, she's like, "Booster, there's a shit ton of them everywhere. Yeah, like, why everywhere. Do you need to
why
buy
need
3 times the amount?"
Yeah, you fucking creep.
Just go to the store, dude.
And then when he chases after the car, he ends up stopping right in the middle of the road. And that is, I think, one of the most asshole moves he does in the whole movie. And that's including
the driving through the traffic. I think driving on the shoulder in the traffic was a very asshole move in the
that
beginning.
That poor cop.
Yeah,
who that Arnold
stops
keeps fucking over.
Out.
But because he's in a
Robert
Turbo
Patrick,
Man.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's Robert Patrick.
No, wait.
I think the cop is Robert Patrick.
I don't think so. Check. From Double Dragon?
I don't.
Robert Patrick from Double Dragon, the main bad guy?
Remember.
Terminator.
Oh, I forgot he's in that.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I always think of him as the main villain in Double Dragon. That we just reviewed.
There's another hilarious casting in this, too, though.
What was that?
When they go to the radio station.
Who's that guy?
Martin Mull.
I've seen him in
there was
things.
A television show that ran for maybe 10 years. WKRP in Cincinnati. And he was the main radio announcer on that show.
Yeah, it's like a spoof of a radio station.
It's just good stunt casting.
Those store workers are way too willing to laugh at some poor father who's twice their size.
It didn't last.
Yeah.
The retail employees at holiday time. Yeah. Like,
They're laughing at everybody.
They got to find some enjoyment at this point in their season. Like, they're over it.
I mean, but that's fucked up. It just, Phil Hartman is a creep the whole movie.
The whole movie,
You broke my little... What does he say?
This would have been a much better movie if they'd cut Phil Hartman completely out of
the movie. Oh, no, because then you don't get the greatest line in the whole movie.
Which,
put the cookie down. That's all the time.
He's next door. She's next door petting Phil.
That's like my...
Yeah, she's next door petting Ted.
Petting Ted.
That's my favorite line of Arnold.
Yeah.
The put the cookie down is my favorite Arnold line for all of his quotes.
Yeah.
Put the cookie down. It's the best
of all of his quotes. It's the best one.
It is.
It beats out "I'll be back." It beats out it beats out "I'm a kindergarten cop."
Get to the chopper.
Just because of the context and just it's so silly. But
it's so
just,
silly.
Yeah. Put the cookie down.
He does. And that's the best. Mall of America in the 90s looks amazing.
I've always wanted to go there.
I've always wanted to. I bet it's kind of lame now.
Check out Fried Rice Podcast, Mall of America, coming soon.
That'd be dope. These line workers that threw the buckets of balls should be charged with inciting a riot. Because they're handing out the balls, and I understand that people are being aggressive around them, but then they should have been like, no, stop everybody form a line. We're not doing it this way.
So just throwing them up in the air?
Instead of throwing it up in the air to the point where it was just a bedlam of chaos. So no rubber ball in the history of rubber balls has ever rubber balled that much and bounced to infinity and beyond. It bounced all the way to the fucking, like, that was insane. Arnold in the playpen was weird. Why did Arnold yell when he was sliding down the tiny little slide towards a ball pit? Those mothers sure did let up on those pedophile pervert claims real quick. Why is Santa, quote unquote, sitting in his Santa chair when the Santa will be back in 5 minutes sign is still up, implying he's on a break, which he is. Why is he sitting in the chair waving to people?
He was sitting there. The sign wasn't turned around. As soon as he walks by and says he's looking for the Turbo Man, that's when the elf turned it around.
Thank you. That does solve that problem in my head. I appreciate that. Also, why is there not a line of kids waiting to meet Santa? There wasn't.
Well, because it was a really shitty Santa.
Yeah. Why does the elf have a Polaroid of him with today's newspaper? Yeah. Does he do this every day? Does he just literally take a picture of him in a toy every day? Plus, the small print is too small. Arnold wouldn't be able to read the date from that little Polaroid. He would have to be aware of the day's headlines going into this for that to be effective. So he would have, the little elf would be like, here's the today's, you see it's today's paper and the thing. At this point, I would look at the Polaroid and be like, okay, today's paper.
Yep.
I can't see the date. What were the headlines today? And if it matched up with what I saw earlier at the table when I was reading the newspaper, if I did, I might believe it.
I think,
and in that day, I think everybody did read the paper because there was no real internet.
So, and I understand that it's just a trope that you hold up today's newspaper and it shows that it's today. I'm not sitting on your lap is a great and tasteful gay joke. And here's why it's a great and tasteful gay joke. Because I think if you were to, if the main character wasn't Arnold and it was a mom trying to find a gift and the same interaction happened where he's like, hey, I'll help you out. And she's like, I'm not sitting on your lap. And he's like, I'm not trying to get you to sit on my lap or whatever. It's still a funny joke.
Still works.
Because it feels like, what do I got to do for this thing? And so it's not really a gay joke.
Well, I didn't feel like it was a gay joke. I felt like it was either. It was just more like a Santa joke.
Yeah, but it is a gay joke.
I think it was a
Santa
joke.
Because Arnold turning, I'm not sitting on your lap. Like, the way he said it.
Well, I think it's any adult sitting on Santa's lap. It's kind of how I took it, too.
That's how
I really take it as a gay joke.
Okay. I got it as a mild gay joke because the 90s were pretty wild when it came to throwing in even gay jokes into kids' movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, just because they thought it was funny. What? Santa just blew off his shift? How much are they going to uplift this guy, upcharge him? Which we find out later is $300. So, if Santa's getting paid, let's just say he makes $500 a day.
Mall Santas make like $50.
Do they really?
Back then.
They don't make shit.
Yeah, it's an under minimum wage type job.
Well, nowadays it's probably not. Like, now
it's minimum wage.
It's got to be minimum wage. There's no way it's more than minimum wage. But, yeah, it's probably a minimum wage job.
Have you seen bell ringers and mall Santas before? They're all pretty bad.
I guess it just depends on...
Bell ringers, the Salvation Army people?
Those
are usually homeless guys.
Those ones, that's a volunteer job. That's not like an hourly job.
Well, no, they pay them.
Do they really?
Yeah, they pay them. That's not a volunteer job. It's mostly homeless people they know. Like, at the Salvation Army, the people they help, they'll give them a job doing that. And it's actually, they give them a commission. They give them like 10% of what that's why they're so aggressive.
Okay, that makes sense.
They give them 10% of what's in the belt.
That makes sense.
In the kettle.
I think there's another thing you might have missed, but at one point, so they leave, and you know the sign says he'll be back in 5 minutes. They're gone for at least
a couple hours.
As they're driving, though, he says, we've been driving for 20 minutes. Where are we going? I don't think you guys got this scene.
Santa
in the car with them. I just don't remember
them how much they were saying. Yeah,
and they—I'll show it to you after. But they—I don't know—they have a moment about why he's doing this, or whatever, about his son or whatever. So, Vern Troyer is an elf Santa. Sorry, I put elf and then crossed it out.
Right.
He's a little Santa, and he's reading a dirty magazine called Mischief. And on the cover, there's two headlines that say how to throw a sex fight and how to get more protein from sex? And I have an answer to both.
Don't. Let's know.
The protein from sex.
Oh, Jesus. I tried this on my wife once, you know.
It's just to swallow. How to throw a sex fight, it depends on what they mean by that. What? Is it how to lose on purpose in a sex fight? Or is it how to host a sex fight? Yeah. And either one, the answer is gracefully and with dignity. The Santa song was pretty random. So if you didn't see the director's cut,
which no one did,
but Jim Belushi, he does a full song about the boy who forgot it, about Santa, and it's kind
of
sweet.
His dad was a piece of shit.
His dad was a piece of shit. Song, yeah. Big Santa kills midget Santa. Dwarf Santa, probably. But
he throws him in
a when another little Santa pops up on Arnold's head, he ducks, and that dude hits full force with the power of a giant, and that dude flies across and hits the wall. He killed him. That's two deaths so far that Arnold inadvertently caused.
That was Big Show. That was Big.
Was that Big Show? Mm-hmm. Okay, Big that's Santa. Great. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I was like, what wrestler is that? Like, I had to figure it out. I looked, yeah, it's Big Show.
And then the elf tases him right in the balls.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is, weirdly, I looked at the differences between the two cuts, and that scene is like a 1 second difference, and there's a difference on the editing of how they get tased in the balls. On mine, it looked like he went straight up from underneath directly into his balls. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you guys got
I think it was from the front. Yeah.
Oh, wait, he tased him from the front? Yeah, he tased. Yeah. Mine was he
more
came from behind and tased
balls.
Him
ours
from
was
right...
more dick, yours was more balls. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. He got right on the head of the penis with yours. Mine was either the asshole or the balls, depending on how close he got. All right. Impersonating a cop. That's a fucking felony, bro.
I'm the detective.
There's
I'm
a lot detective. Of felonies in this movie. Yeah.
You guys call yourselves cop. Go arrest somebody. I told you I don't have a good Arnold. Mom's next door petting Ted. What? Yeah. I thought that was great. I thought Sinbad getting some improv at the diner. That was kind of cool. Sinbad for sure loses his job after throwing the very light envelopes that will give him no advantage in running. He should drop the bag, if anything, out of his bag. So Sinbad's running up the street, throwing mail out of his fucking bag. He's lost his job. He's done.
He probably quit his job at the beginning of the day because he's still with all of his mail and his uniform and every, like, at some point he would have put the bag back or put the bag down somewhere.
God, you're right. We don't know the dark. This story. Movie focuses a lot on Arnold.
Yeah.
But not a lot on Sinbad. By the way, out of the two men causing all of the fucking chaos around town, who gets arrested?
Sinbad.
The black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even says at one point they call that out in this movie.
What
yeah.
he says
that's racist to Arnie at some. At one
no,
point
but I'm
too,
talking but... about literally the end of yeah. this movie is the yeah. one guy that gets arrested and put
they
into
don't
jail.
Arrest the hero, and even in that scene though, what they were arresting him for, he was the bad guy. There was no
attacking a kid.
He was
I get that
a
he
kid.
Was doing something
yeah.
bad. But the moment that the cop who's been aggressively following Arnold
yeah,
for
when
the
he
last
recognized,
few days,
well, they, you saw that
last
little
day,
thing between them. Like,
once
he
saw
that, yeah.
he's like, what the fuck, you're Turbo Man? Yeah. He should have been, arrest this man. Yeah. And then Arnold should have flown off with his rocket pack. And like, you know, that, but yeah, I don't know. Just
when,
that.
I mean, Sinbad got the Turbo Man at the end. He got the special edition Turbo Man at the end of the movie. So
he did. Which I actually looks a lot worse because it looks like it has this extra gold component that makes yeah. it so that Turbo Man's legs don't move.
Yeah.
And so it's more of like a figure piece than it is an action figure. And as a kid.
And it's not in a box, so it already lost its value.
It already lost its value. So his dad, so Sinbad's kid is going to get a loose, unmovable Turbo Man statue from his father when he's like, this isn't what I wanted, Dad. I wanted Turbo Man.
I wanted Booster.
I wanted the Booster. Arnold.
That would have been funny at the end. The kid's just like, Dad, I wanted Booster. I never wanted Turbo Man.
Yeah,
like,
I'm a Booster guy.
Booster
you
was
know
easy,
nothing
bro.
About me.
Could have got you. Don't listen.
I'm a Booster boy.
You are
yeah,
the worst
I said
dad.
You never listen.
You are the worst dad.
I'm a Booster boy. You should know that.
Yeah.
I'm not a Turbo Ted or a Turbo Tad. I'm a Booster Boy. Yeah. You don't even know me, Dad. Arnold opening the bomb package is a federal offense.
Yeah.
So even though Sinbad faked it was a bomb and threw the bomb next to Arnold's head, and he hears the music box going off, once he opens that mail up, he's committing a felony offense of opening, tampering with U.S. mail. So that's just another thing to add on to the thing. Someone actually sent a bomb in the mail, which is fucking psychotic.
This world is crazy. He's like, what's this world coming to? That's
actual fucking bomb. Yeah, then we get the tow truck that doesn't know how to tow truck and tow trucks his he taxis him home and then tow trucks his truck away. Well, but I also don't think you guys got the scene of him and the tow truck lady talking.
I assume the reason that they tow trucked his truck away is because it was stripped down to the fucking.
It was nothing.
There was nothing. There was no engine, no tires, no doors.
But this isn't. But that's
I'm
not
assuming
how tow
she was taking
trucks
it
work.
To a chop shop.
I understand that, but that's not how tow trucks work. This is what would happen. Oh, you need to get home. You live in Chestwick or whatever. I can't take you there. You need to take a taxi there. I'll take your car to the junkyard. That's how it would work. Yeah. It wouldn't go, oh, let me give you a ride, dragging around your truck, use all that fuel and expense. All the way home first, and then go. I've never had a tow unless they were dropping my car off at my house.
At home. Right.
He didn't, or she didn't. She took the truck with her. That's what I'm saying. Is fuck. That's not doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If you're dropping the car off at home, absolutely.
Because I've had that done. Yeah.
Or if you're, but a tow truck is expensive.
Yeah.
But also, you guys didn't get the scene where there's a moment where he's practicing. What he's going to say to Jamie and his wife about the Turbo Man doll and to the tow truck lady. And she's just like, nah, I don't really buy it. You need to show some emotion. And then so he like practices, but Jamie, you know, like, and it's funny. And I was just like, that's kind of fun. I don't know why they cut that out. It was a funny little scene. But it also maybe undercuts his emotions a little bit later when he's being emotional to Jamie, telling him that he's sorry.
Yeah.
As you saw him just practice it in the car. So he's a psychopath, this guy. He's a sociopath. Punching the reindeer was fucking awesome, and I love that they become drinking buddies after. That's the part I was thinking of. After he punches the reindeer and he's pouring beer into the thing, he's drinking a beer. So he's just drinking a beer, talking to the reindeer, and normally there's a moment of clarity that there's something that happens in a movie that's a big call to like the climax. Instead, he's just drinking. He goes, no, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to win Jamie back. And he just stands up and goes, kind of lame.
Because he's a doer.
I know he's a doer.
He's a doer.
You see that in the very beginning. Yeah. You would love to have him work for my company.
He's the number one customer.
He's my number
one
employee.
number one customer.
So many licensed characters at this parade. You got everybody.
Sonic's out there.
You have the crayons running around.
Yeah.
Crayola crayons, bro. Phil Hartman needs to die, and then I put his character.
Yeah.
I put that in bad taste because
yeah.
I hope no one thought that at the time because it was like 2 years later. The cop who was just
that
burned,
same cop was everywhere
and almost knocked out is now on the police float.
Yes.
He's on the police float.
Yes.
He's part of the police dude. So he
Didn't
got burned.
Notice his hands though too. Yeah. He had all these like he's all bandaged.
Oh,
like
that's fucking so there's the announcers are probably the two best characters in the entire movie, and I'll tell you why. At first they're doing picture perfect. This is what Macy Day Parade announcers talk like.
Yeah.
But then, if you pay attention to what they're saying for the rest of this, they're just rolling with the punches as if they're news reporters for Turbo Man City. So, at one point...
because that was supposed to be, but part of this is that was supposed to be all pre-planned.
No, but they're
and then it was like.
But the way, no, but I don't think they, I don't know if they were part, I don't know if they had lines.
They had a script?
I don't know if they, no, I don't think they had lines. I think the dudes were, because they had mics.
They even said, one of the things they said is this was not in the script.
Yeah.
That was one of their lines.
I bet you they're reading a script, but the thing is, I don't think the line where the guy goes, I guess this is the end of civilization as we know it. I want to believe that's not
in
a
scripted
moment. I feel like those two were just in the moment watching this superhero villain fight, and he's just like, I guess it's the end of the world, a civilization as you know it. It was just so, I loved it. They were really funny. They were rolling with it. So Turbo Man, Arnold gets the Turbo Man suit because some guy called in sick. The replacement hadn't shown up. I mean, you guys are fucked at this time. At this point, Turbo Man isn't making an appearance. The right. float's about to leave.
Yeah,
you're done. You scrap it. You've already told the announcers, oh, I'm so sorry, Turbo Man can't make it. He's late or whatever. Yeah. Then Arnold shows
up.
You
are, you right,
see a muscular guy. Yeah. You're like, this has to be the dude. Fits him perfectly. Yeah. Perfectly.
Hey, wait, I got to stop you there.
Calibre,
Do you know who was originally slated to star in this? It was not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No.
Oh, wait, I'm going to guess. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay, let me give you a couple of guesses.
Well, Sylvester Stallone.
You're not going to get it. You're on the wrong track.
Oh, okay,
completely.
Then got it.
Supposed to be muscular. Person, gotcha. Not even a muscular
So then
actor.
If I'm thinking what this movie would be good with would be a Tim Allen type.
Or Edward Norton.
A Chris Rock type.
Okay.
A
you're
Eddie
still not
Murphy.
Close. Well, you're close on type, but not type.
Okay, hold on.
So skinnier.
Well, a comedian. It's comedian. It's a stand-up.
Go
famous.
The other way.
Heavier?
Heavier. Oh. Much heavier.
Chris Farley.
Closer. Very close. Think of the time it
John
was.
John Candy.
Exactly.
John Candy.
Oh, John Candy
yeah.
was supposed to star
away.
In this.
Damn.
Can you imagine that fight with John Candy flying around in the thing? I just can't even imagine getting in the trouble.
Oh.
How would they even do that scene? That's what scenes what made me think of it. When you start talking about that scene, I'm like, how would they have done this? If
maybe
was
he would have been
Candy?
Booster instead.
Oh no,
they wouldn't have done that scene.
You think that scene was
that was a written for Arnold type thing. They're like, we could put Arnold. We've got Arnold.
Yes.
Let's make him Turbo Man at the end, and we'll put him in a rocket pack. That'll be fucking awesome.
Yeah,
which I like.
Yeah,
and
no,
obviously
it
it's a fun part of the
worked.
Movie. Because look, I know you said this is a bad movie. It's not the best, but
if
we're going Christmas cheer,
I have a description for it.
Well, what's your description for it?
Let me find. I wrote it earlier. I can't remember because I wrote it earlier.
I've got a few more notes while you're looking for
it. Yeah.
So I think it's crazy, absolutely crazy that whoever designed these suits. Not only made a working fist that flies out and flies back,
thing and all that,
the battering missiles, the jetpack that works so fucking
good.
Like I could get.
Well, I liked when he was giving them all the notes about the jetpack as they're putting it on. He's like, "Yeah, and we fixed the problem that he had yesterday. Don't worry about
there
that."
There was a little bit of brain. They saw a little bit of brain activity this morning. That's a good sign.
Because that was David Cross, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
I think it was David
Cross.
It was.
And then I put. Oh, okay. So they built a real quickfire disc, and then why are those little bad dudes, the little Power Ranger looking Teletubby guys? Why are they actually beating up Turbo Man? So they're actors in costumes. Right. They're acting, and they have a script to beat up on Turbo Man until he throws them around or whatever. But they're actually trying to fuck up Arnold, these dudes.
I don't know. I didn't see it that way because they were so small. Like,
No.
Kind of slaps.
You hear them, too. They're like, get him, guys. And they're like, fuck, mess him up. They're like trying to fuck him up, and he destroys them.
I think that's
them.
After they were... So he started fighting them back. And then it got
then it got real.
Yeah.
Well, I think he died when he crashed into the wall, and then he died again when he fell.
Yeah.
Then where did that group carry Arnold off to? They just put him on his shoulders and just walked off, leaving his son and wife behind with Ted. Ted just got...
Ted ran off,
Weird runoff, by the way, because he sees Arnold getting carried off. He goes, son, we got to get out of here. Yeah. And then they... Bloop, 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 and they run away.
I feel like there had to have been another cut
scene. I think there's some scene we didn't see where he's going to go, I'm going to kill that motherfucker, basically.
And there's a cut scene where he pulls
up. Oh, yeah, where he's like on the shoulders and he looks over at Phil and he goes, I'm coming. I'm going to kill
you,
motherfucker.
You
live next door to me. I know where you live, bitch. And then, so what Brendan missed when he watched it initially, because they put it in the post credits, But what I got to see, because the director made the much wiser decision to just keep it at the scene that it was part of, which is the end scene.
And I think it would have been better with that scene and the Santa singing. That's the only two that really mattered, I think.
I liked the fur lady. Well, that one was okay.
Kinda, I don't think it was I think it was too inappropriate probably for maybe. Kids' movies. Yeah.
I didn't mind the Sinbad 7 gun thing, but it was a little bit long.
It was kind of meaningless. It didn't do anything.
But, yeah. The... What was I just saying?
The end scene.
Oh, the end scene, which is so in the director's cut, the proper way is you get the star on the tree, they kiss, and then she says to him, she goes, "Wow, it blows my mind how much effort you did to get our son that gift. You did so much. I can't wait to see what you got me." And you see him look to the camera. And open as they go, get real, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it flows way better than...
It flows better, yeah.
I
better.
Can't even imagine the... Because they had to change the score then, because the score of this didn't feel like the end when he was putting the tree on. It felt like there was still some things to come. And then they did that, and then we got like a... a more abrupt ending.
And what looked like would have been a great setup for a second one. And maybe they realized, maybe that was what their thought process was originally. They were planning on doing a second one, and then they went, I guess we're not going to get a second one in this format.
Arnold's like,
Arnold's like, I'm not doing this.
I'm going to be Mr. Freeze instead. Yeah.
And I found what I started with. Like in my written thing, that's when you were saying about how I thought it, I don't want to say it's a bad movie. But it's objectively a bad movie. Like you were talking about how with Sinbad and getting the reviews from critics would not have liked this movie.
21%
it's one of those.
Yeah.
It's like,
and I don't disagree with that.
So what the message of the movie, something about materialism and the true meaning of Christmas, I guess, but it gets lost faster. It just gets lost under all the chaos and Schwarzenegger's one-liners. Is it a good movie? No. Is it entertaining? It's like watching two drunk uncles fight over the last slice of pumpkin pie. You know you shouldn't like it, but you can't look away. It's like once you start watching this movie, it kind of keeps you in it. So, I mean, bad movies are ones I turn off. It's not that. You can't not watch it once you start watching it. But having seen it once, do I need to see it again? Not really. It's like that, you know. It's like...
That you said something. Oh, you said it's going.
Nearing.
Okay. When you brought up the commercialism of this, which I guess I wasn't super focused on, now that you've sort of opened my eyes a little bit, I think this is our least Christmassy movie on our entire Christmas thing that we've been watching. This doesn't feel like Christmas to me anymore.
It feels more Black Friday kind of.
It feels like a Black Friday. We should have done this for our Black Friday movie instead of what we're going to do, which is, I guess I could say it's Plane. Well, it already had passed, which was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which for our, it wasn't about the Black Friday-ness.
It was about the traveling
for holidays, which would happen. So suck it if you have a problem with that. So what was your grade then?
Oh, this is a tough one to grade because, like I said, not a good movie objectively, but fun to watch. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, but do I want to see it again? No. Pretty much anything I don't want to see again, I have to give at least a D, but this would be on the high part of that, like a D+.
D+. I went with a C because...
It's hard to grade this.
Yeah, that's what... To me, it was hard to grade because it's like...
It's hard to watch as an adult.
Yeah,
I'm giving it.
I think if I was a kid, I'd probably give this a B. That's what I'm saying. As a kid, I would love this. Movie.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if this is your first time listening, our scale, because we're retarded, is I can't say that word. I'm sorry. Is B through W?
Because we're idiots.
Because we're idiots. We're gonna change that in season 4. Don't worry. This is the last part of it. We're rounding out the year. We're giving Zach his creation a little bit more love before we give it a definitive, way better, cooler. Something to do with a rice pun rating system that'll make fucking sense to people. So, Brendan.
Yeah, it's hard to grade this one, especially, like, having watched this movie as a kid, loving it as a kid, and then, like, still enjoying it later. And it's like you watch it for certain aspects of it. It's kind of like Kindergarten Cop, like any of Arnold's kids movies, Last Action Hero, Kindergarten Cop. Like I grew up.
Oh no, Last Action Hero is a much better movie.
Oh, it's much better. 100%.
That's a cool movie.
But
Kindergarten Cop also isn't necessarily a kids movie. That feels like a
kids adult movie kind of. It's a young adult movie maybe.
Is it? I thought it was rated PG-13 or even R.
It might be. There might have been a lot of jokes that I watched when I was a kid that I didn't
that
get.
That you wouldn't get, yeah.
Yeah, but like as an adult watching it now, you get it better. And that's kind of the same with this. There's some jokes in there that you don't get as a kid.
Well, like the deleted scene you were talking about earlier was pretty adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I tripping? Am I thinking of a different movie?
Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, I think maybe you're thinking about the one with Hulk Hogan that was kind of the same movie. Where he was a nanny?
Yeah.
What was that movie? Kind of the same movie.
Oh, yeah, PG-13.
I think it
was
called
thinking.
Nanny.
Because there's violence in this. I remember.
It's violent, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Much better movie, also.
Much better movie, yes.
Arnold looks great.
This might be one of Arnold's worst movies, actually.
Yeah, it might be, but I enjoyed it.
Wait, we can find out for sure.
I think overall, I gave it a C-.
A C-. Yeah. So we're looking at a combined.
Probably a C- minus is probably what it's going
to
average.
C-, yeah. Okay, so C- for Christmas minus
Christmas
for Jingle
minus.
All the Way. Which is, thanks for joining us. And
R3, 2.5, put those cookies down.
Put the cookie down.
Put the cookie down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two out of five. Pet and Ted's next door. His wife's pet and Ted next door. There's nothing he could do about it. And you know what? Just shout out to Phil Hartman. He was great.
He was a great comedic actor.
Yeah.
He played the role well though.
He definitely added that element that you needed for, you know.
He was a creep.
Yeah. He was like, your wife's gonna leave you. Yeah. And she's gonna come for me once you're gone.
It made me feel bad though, wanting to hate him. That was the problem.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lot of my problem with it. I felt bad for one to hate.
I feel like he's played that kind of character.
Yeah.
He's played that kind of character in a lot of things,
yeah.
though. Like Small Soldiers, he was kind of like that.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small Soldiers was kind of similar.
Kinda his character, yeah.
He's great at it, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us. Oh, ho, ho. Merry Christmas stuff. And I need to get back into the mindset because this movie's so not Christmassy.
Yeah.
And that's been another.
Your Santa sucks all of a sudden. What the hell?
And that's been another night of Christmas. I've been your host, Andy Rice. We've been fried. It's been Christmas. And with me as always, it is Brennan. His chestnuts. Roasting on an open fire. Brennan screaming from the pain.
Yes.
I come along with a fire extinguisher. Merry Christmas, Brennan's balls. Shipley up to Boston.
Put the joint down.
Put the joint down. With me as always. Ho, ho, ho. It's Michael on Donner, on Blitzen, on
Chelios,
on titties, on slapstick, on crank, on heart attacks, Larson.
I'm not a bad guy, I'm just a busy guy.
He's the bad guy, duh. And I'm your host, Andy Rice. And I hope you've all been on the good list this year. But if you've been on the naughty list, that's okay too. Merry Christmas.
It's a fried rice Christmas, and I've invited everyone. Grab a pipe, a bong, a joint, and all have ourselves some fun. It's a fried rice Christmas, and Andy's really high. He's gonna go on a tangent soon. The guys are standing by. It's a fried rice Christmas. Let's all smoke some pot. We love all of our listeners. You all mean a lot. It's a fried rice Christmas. Oh.